listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 200. Holy shit. Also, I just blasted y'all's eardrums and I'm sorry.
You mean 200 times we've done this now?
Technically more. There were a few we did not...
Number?
Number. Because they were like little teeny tiny things.
But officially.
Officially. Full episode.
Full episode.
To the fuck 100.
Wow.
Ah, no.
Wow.
Kayla Lord's here with the one, the only, the guy in his Santa hat and his daddy shirt, my daddy, John Brownstone.
Yep, that's me.
That's you. This week, to celebrate 200 episodes, we're answering questions. We let y'all do the work. We were like, screw this. We're taking the day off. Y'all tell us what you want to know. And you did.
And folks, please don't make this into a drinking game for every time she drops an F-bomb.
I know, right? My Lord, I'm not going to be responsible for alcohol poisoning. It's not happening. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. And yes, it's mostly like this nearly every week. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you'd look. I can't speak. It's 200 episodes and I don't know how to say it. We want a review, y'all. If your app lets you leave stars or type something in, help some bitches out and leave a review. Only if you have nice things to say. If you hate our guts, just move on. What are you doing here? Don't hate listen. Don't hate listen. And yes, we've gone off the rails because for 200 episodes, apparently, I give zero fucks. You can follow the show, if you dare, on Twitter at LovingBDSM, on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC, on Instagram at that handle I will forever fucking hate, LovingDS and the number one, that's LovingDS1. Or you can subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/LovingBDSM, where you can actually watch us live stream this episode every Wednesday. All links are in the show notes. Big shout out to our kinky patrons on Patreon. We are going through a bit of a fine-tuning, changing things up for 2020 on Patreon, but new patrons are always welcome, and we see and we love our existing patrons, who will probably start to get called crickets because we got a whole branding thing going on. Like, we're doing big shit over there. It's amazing. If you would like to join us in big shit, you know what I mean. Just go to patreon.com/KaylaLords. That's patreon.com/KaylaLords. Link in the show note or patreon.com/KaylaLords. Don't try searching. We're an adult account. They don't let you find us. You gotta go there directly. So, before we get into the questions, let us go through the announcements. First of all, I'm going to say this one first because I forgot to write it down. So I want to say it while I'm remembering it. We have a giveaway going right now. For YouTube watchers, it's the BDSM contracts video. If you are a podcast listener, if you go to lovingbdsm.net on our homepage, scroll down a little bit, there'll be a post about the giveaway, BDSM contracts. We partnered with the lovely folks at bdsmcontracts.org. We have a coupon code. If you shop there, it's Loving BDSM. You save 20%. But also, we're giving away 4 DS contract templates, printed ones, not just the PDF or the digital version, PDF or Word, that you can get from the site. 3 are DS specific. 1 is Daddy Dom Baby Girl. It is the only one that is not specifically gender neutral. If you want to know more about that, check out the video, look at the blog post, learn more about it, and then enter the giveaway. And that giveaway runs through the end of December 2019, and then we will click the special buttons on the giveaway platform we use and pick 4 winners at the first of 2020. The idea being that, one, who doesn't want something nice and new and that didn't cost you anything in January? And 2, January is a great time when you start planning stuff, planning your life, planning your goals, planning your this, planning your that. And we figured for people who want to get their DS on a specific track for 2020, that might help. So for YouTube watchers, I do need to add that link to the description box if you do not see it. Podcast listeners, link will be in the show notes, but you can always just go to the website and it should stay on the front page of the site for a couple, probably through the whole month. I mean, because we won't be adding that much content after like next week. So there is that.
Mm-hmm.
The next one is that while we are going to talk about the details of this in the bonus section, we do want to say a massive, massive thank you to The Woodshed in Orlando for the Kinky Market event thing on Saturday, December 7th. A massive thank you to Darcy and Master Cecil, who run The Woodshed and put all this on and organize all of us. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it had to be like herding cats. Darcy is a woman after my own heart. I look at her and go, those are boss goals right there. And she, yeah, she's the S in that pairing. And I'm like, yeah, soul sisters there. She doesn't know it. That would be weird. I recognize it's a kinship thing.
Yeah.
woman after my own heart is what I'm saying. Excuse me. I want to thank Ignixia for
Absolutely.
Who was like our PR person. So we have, when we do public events, which is very, 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 very rarely, obviously, we have these little postcard sized things that promote the show. I mean, we're there to sell product, but we're also, well, I'm not stupid. I'm using that as an opportunity to get more people listening to the podcast or following the YouTube channel. We only had a limited amount because we need to reorder anyway. She handed out every single one we had but one, which I'm glad I've got a coupon. I can get those reprinted at a discount. It's very helpful. So I'll be reprinting those. And she was just she was our biggest cheerleader.
She was fantastic.
Oh my God. It was great.
She went above and beyond. And I mean, not just us. She was going
She was very supportive of everybody.
To other vendors and cross-promoting people. She really had her heart in the event, too. She worked so hard.
And again, we'll talk more about the details of our Woodshed event in the bonus section. And also a massive thank you to the crickets and the non-crickets, but definitely the crickets who came to see us. We were always like, if you just come see us, we have no expectation that you will shop with us. I mean, we'd love it, of course, but we just want to say hi. And I think every cricket... Like, I hope we didn't blow your budget, but we're really grateful to you.
Yes.
One cricket had just joined us on Patreon like 5 minutes before. I got to give a personalized thank you. one couple of crickets made the trip part of their anniversary present to themselves. And I was like, I hope we're worth it.
Right?
it wasn't just for us, y'all. My head's not quite that big. so that was awesome. So everybody we got to meet some crickets. I'm not going to say names. I'm not going to get anybody in trouble with their dom. But I'm looking at some of y'all who waited till the last second before you walked away to let me know you were a cricket. Got too shy. Y'all, if y'all know, those of you who saw, we're the same. I was actually a little bit more hyped up because I was in kinky carnival barker mode. I was like, hear ye, buy my shit. So a little more amped up than usual. And I had, I think, more coffee by that point. So thank you to all of you who stopped by. And if you are a new listener because Ignixia shoved a card in your face and said you need to go freaking listen to them, Welcome. And thank you for coming by our booth and not like discreetly throwing away the card after Ignixia walked away. And we've already told the live stream viewers this, but for podcast listeners, because we love Ignixia and we have purchased her shirts before we ever even met her and we love her shirts and her designs, you will find a link to her t-shirt design store in the show notes. We are wearing our daddy shirts. I've got daddy issues. And keep calm and say yes, daddy. And I'm happy to say yes, daddy. Especially after the night we had at the Woodshed after the market. We'll talk about that later. Oh, are these... these are long. Just a quick programming note. This one really is quick.
Sure.
Next week is our... Episode 201 is our last episode before we take 2 weeks off for the holidays.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to be a big old bonus section. We'll probably go through announcements. We'll chit-chat. We might take some questions, but it won't be formal. It'll just be like, what's anybody want to talk about?
Mm-hmm.
There'll probably be way too much conversation about coffee and Patreon, because I'll have some stuff to say about Patreon at that point. But the patrons are learning about, but we're going to wait till next week to tell everybody else. So just so you know, one more episode for 2019, and then we'll take 2 weeks off and we'll come back early 2020, refreshed and ready to go. Reminder, last week, episode 199 was a favorite sex toys of 2019.
Mm-hmm.
Our four of our whole list came from Hot Octopus, and we still have the coupon code for Hot Octopus. It's KALO, KALO, KALO 20. You get 20% off. That coupon code is good through December 18th, 2019. So if you've been thinking about it, you've been waiting to get paid, you're waiting to see what else you want to buy, blah, blah, blah. They don't keep sales going very long. They even coupon codes only last a couple of weeks. So get this deal while you can, if you can afford it, if there's something you've been wanting. Toys for penises, toys for vulvas, it's all there. So there's that. Now, One massive thing, it's big. Hope I hadn't lost you yet.
It's huge.
It's huge. We purposely waited till after the Woodshed event so we would know what we even had in stock. John Brownstone and all of his work, Kinky and Vanilla, is on sale. Mm-hmm. So, two things. Kinky patrons, go check the Patreon feed because you have a special coupon code for being a patron. But if you're not a patron, no worries. You still get to save 15% off at the Kinky Fuckery Shop. Coupon code is KinkyHoliday15. At the Wood Dom, it's Holidays with an S, Holidays15. Why didn't we keep the coupon codes the same? Because we made coupon codes at 6 a.m. this morning and neither of us was awake. Okay.
Before coffee, even.
Before coffee. Y'all, I did a load of laundry. I packaged up an order and I made coupon codes before coffee, before the sun came up.
Mm-hmm,
okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I did not expect video watchers and audio listeners to remember that. It is all in the show notes / description box. The coupon codes last through December 21st, okay? The other thing we're offering, we've never done this before. We shall see how it goes. For the duration of this coupon code, because we know some of these might be holiday presents for yourself, your significant other, or a kinky friend. I mean, there's nothing wrong with it.
Wait, there's more.
There's more. We are offering free shipping on orders of $50 or more. And we're going to use priority mail for the U.S., if you're in the U.S. If you are outside the U.S., you got to pay those shipping charges, y'all. They're just expensive. That's why we don't have any non-U.S. orders, we know. But if you are located in the U.S. and you make an order and it's $50 or more, and yes, you can use the coupon code, you get free shipping. And we will do priority shipping for this event so we can do our best to get it to you before Christmas. We can't control what the post office does, but we will do our best. Supposedly, the 22nd or 23rd is the last date for priority shipping to get there by Christmas Day because the postal workers are doing the Lord's work right now. And I just have them, UPS, FedEx, all the delivery places, OMG. thank goodness for them. After the sale is over, what we'll do is we'll raise that minimum threshold to $75 orders, and it will not be priority, y'all. It will be whatever we get. But for Christmas and the holidays, because not everybody celebrates Christmas, $50 or more before tax, y'all, before all the, like, whatever, $50 or more, you get free shipping. Yes, you can use the coupon with that. Go forth and shop. This might be the best time to shop right now because 2020, not by much, not like astronomically, but prices are going up. Because here's how I've been saying for months that John Brownstone does not always price for the quality of the work he makes. He's a craftsman, y'all. And here's how I know it was true. I pimped out some of his pins to my writer friends and they were like, wow, these are kind of not cheap as in bad, but like, you're not pricing enough. That's how you know you're working with creators. They're going to tell you you're not pricing enough. And then at the Woodshed, we people come up and go, this is really affordable. And I read that as, this is the least expensive lowest I've ever paid for this. We like that. We like to be accessible to people. But prices will be going up a little bit. I'm just telling you, prices will be going up in 2020. We're not doubling anything. Don't worry. It's going to be a few dollars here and there. But this is the time to get the best price with a coupon and potentially free shipping. Shop.KaylaLords.com, thewooddom.com. The links are in all the places links are always at. And if you follow us on social media, we are going to be posting them there too. Okay? So do not worry. And on YouTube, we use the community tab heavily. Nobody ever looks at it, but we do use it. So we put things there too. That was really long-winded.
Yep.
Sorry, y'all. There was a lot, and especially as we're getting to the end of the year, there's just a lot.
A lot of stuff going on.
How many people did I lose already? How many people have fast-forwarded? How many people are like, fuck this shit? okay, so... let's see. Okay, we're going to start with questions we've received already. And like I said, those came. I'm going to check all the places I asked for questions, but I know I'm going to start with Instagram because we got several questions. And that was really cool. And we do that. I did that through IG stories because I was concerned because a post sometimes on Instagram will come up 3 or 4 days later. And I didn't want anybody to think that they were going to get ask a question. I was not going to answer that question. I wanted it to be timely. So that's what we did. And let's go through our questions. We got some good ones. Megan asked, what is one toy John Brownstone is looking forward to creating in the new year?
Well, actually, there's several things. A couple things. They have not debuted on the site as yet, but I did debut them at the Woodshed this weekend. I made a few evil sticks.
You did?
Yes.
And we demoed them. People demoed them on each other, and they were like, these are evil.
Yes. They're named quite aptly.
So for people who might not know, explain what an evil stick is.
Okay. Evil stick is generally made out of a very thin, light carbon fiber rod with a small handle on it. Generally no more than 12 inches total length. And you pull the stick back. And just let it snap.
And it's really thin.
Very, very thin.
It's very small.
Yep.
It's very painful. It's a sting, y'all. It's a surface level sting. A cane goes like way down deep into the body. This is very surface level. It's over in a matter of minutes. One little strike is over in a matter of minutes. But it does, depending on how you mark up personally, we were watching people demo it very carefully.
Yeah.
And they were walking away with little welts. They were very happy with those welts. They were not upset. But yeah, so that's an evil stick.
Yes. So I'm looking forward to doing more of those this year. Those were fun too.
Yeah, we actually, so he was debuting them at the shed. And somebody who's used evil sticks and likes them says, you know, I like the design, I like the lightness, you know, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. She said, but I really like the stick part to be shorter, like half the length. And I'm looking at her because I'm thinking that is evil.
Because that would be a really, really...
And she said, she and her partner, they're switches. So any toy they get, they're like, they kind of have to agree they're going to play with it. That's their thing.
They use back and forth.
She's like, but I could get real close and in some really small little intimate areas with a shorter evil to the stick. Whack. And I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Wow, that sounds painful.
So and I think the other thing, everybody knows on the website I have the lollies.
Yes, those are circle. They look like lollipops. They're circle paddles that leave great red circles on the skin if you mark up easily.
Well, one of our good friends from back in the Tampa Bay area always joked about how I should make an X. So you can do tic-tac-toe.
Yes, and all the sadists.
On the masochist bottom.
That we've talked to about that, love that idea.
Yeah, we talked to a number of people about that when we were at the shed this weekend. And, you know, the lolly is a fairly good size.
Yeah.
So you really wouldn't be able to get a good game board going on someone's butt.
It's like, no, it'd have to be, it's like 3 inches across. Four, something like that. But somebody did point out you use the evil stick to make the board. Ow! And then you use the lolly and whatever you call the X one.
Well, I had, you know, sometimes I don't always sleep very well. And during the night, I had a little bit of an epiphany how I could do the X and O's so that you could actually fit a game of tic-tac-toe
gotcha.
On someone's ass.
Oh, my Lord. So there is the answer to that question. The sadist is playing. Okay, anything else? Okay. Crystal asked, what is or was the hardest part of identifying what you like in terms of kink?
I would have to say for me, I think that was just coming to grips that I'm normal.
That it is a normal thing.
In what I like, that I'm not some kind of freak.
Yeah.
Okay. And because it's easy to feel on the outside, especially prior to being part of an actual community,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you do. It's very easy to feel alone. And side by side with that was embracing my sadistic side.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to say I was raised in a overly religious family, but there definitely was a religious foundation,
sure.
so to speak. And, you know, it was always said, especially, you know, you'd never hit a woman.
Mm. Yeah.
Okay. And that more than anything really, really threw me for a loop. Well, I feel this way. I feel this really excites me. This is something I want, but this is telling me I can't do this. And you know, back and forth, that was a real hard line to cross for me.
Can I interject a question based on what you just said?
Sure.
Your sadistic desires,
mm-hmm.
do they come to you in the form of urges? Like it's an urge sometimes, not always or whatever, but to like cause pain or to what, however your sadistic side sort of makes itself known.
Is yeah.
It an urge?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I have masochistic urges. It's
kind of like a craving sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Oh yeah.
You know, like one would crave a chocolate chip cookie.
Right. I crave pain sometimes. Yeah. So I get it. That's why I was just curious about that. So I always feel like the big weirdo about my, how, quote, easy, I won't call it easy. I was 30 something before I figured out anything about my own desire. So can't call that easy. But when I figured out what I was into, the fact that I was submissive,
mm-hmm.
a lot of people say they have to do soul searching and they kind of freak out and they worry about what it says about them. And I was like, praise God, at least I now make sense, right? I was really excited. I think it helps that I learned about submission and kink in kind of a safe environment in the sex blog community. I was reading other people's authentic experiences and I was reading fiction and I was reading educational stuff, and it was slowly like dawning on me, and it gave me such a sense of relief that part has never been difficult for me. Even my masochism, the only time I like struggle is when I have those moments of, am I a real masochist? Because there's a lot of fucking pain I do not like. Like, I'm just not here for it. But for me, the hardest part, and I went through months of pretending I wasn't, acting like it was a fantasy, not really calling it what it was, which is so not how I am now, where I'm like, oh, let's just name shit, was my baby girl side. Because, not because I had any preconceived notions about what that meant, I didn't quite know what it meant, but that was the side of me, the side that's needy and clingy and emotional and mm-hmm. very vulnerable, both in happiness and sadness and all the emotional ranges, that I had sort of been taught that as an independent woman living in the now 21st century, I was not supposed to express that stuff. I shouldn't be crying. You know, I shouldn't need a man. I shouldn't need this, want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so coming to terms with that part of my kink identity was really hard, because that is what directly conflicted with everything I thought I was supposed to be. I still, now nowhere near as much as several years ago, but for years and a little bit even now, I sometimes struggle with letting my baby girl side out publicly. And when I say publicly, I mean in kink spaces where it is safe and people mostly won't curl their nose. There's another question that we got that relates back to that curl their nose thing at the baby girl daddy thing. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But I am a lot more comfortable now. And it's because we have this community, the podcast listeners, the YouTube, you know, people on YouTube, blog readers, blah, 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 that are like, yeah, there's the baby girl. And like, they don't even blink. If you have a problem with me being a baby girl, you can't possibly be an audience member because I'm every episode, the baby girl slips out a little bit or a lot. Through what we've done here, I've become a lot more comfortable with it. But that was that truly was the hardest part. Being submissive, like, I think I probably went around it a little bit. Like, am I still feminist? Yeah, I'm still feminist. I'm making the choice. Nobody's telling me I have to be this way. This is a choice I've made. And that was fairly easy. But the baby girl side was really, really hard because it was a part of me that, I mean, from childhood, I'd been taught not to show those things, not to show those vulnerabilities.
Now, how did you finally come to terms with that and let it?
Well, back in the day when I was just a sex blogger and I just blogged whatever was on my mind when it came to sex and kink, I blogged those tendencies and those desires as fantasies, as fiction. Which anybody out there who is a writer and wants to be a sex blogger or a sex writer, I highly recommend that as a way to like find a comfort level. Because what ended up happening was I got a lot of really positive feedback from those stories. I mean, I'm sure there are people who read them and went, but those people did not comment. It was the people who went, oh, that's hot. Or, oh, I'm kind of like that too. You know, and then that sort of normalized it for me.
Mm-hmm.
But the first, I don't remember what the post was. My personal blog is kaylalords.com. If you're not familiar with that, that's where my sex blog is. But I don't remember if the first post was me going, here I am, I'm a baby girl. Or if it was a picture or it was something. I have very clear memories of doing pictures of me with like my teddy bear or my pigtails when my hair was long enough for pigtails and my cute little like Hello Kitty PJs. And it was I was more scared to post shit like that than I was to post pictures of my boobs. Like, naked boob, okay. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, Hello Kitty PJs and my pink knee socks. Like, that freaked me out. But I got so much positive feedback from that.
Yeah.
And so many supportive comments that slowly I became a lot more comfortable with it. And even then, for a very long time, I was only comfortable expressing it online. The podcast, it was easier than in video. Now people can see us. I'm still a little bit sort of like leery of some of those things. I know longtime listeners or anybody who's ever binged all our episodes will probably be able to track the change between, you know, how comfortable I've become just calling you daddy, like in the episode, naturally, versus when it was strictly John Brownstone. For the record, if anybody wonders, I've explained it a few times, but new people show up all the time. The reason I refer to him only as either daddy or John Brownstone is because it's almost like a title. I don't like calling him John. That just that doesn't feel right in my mouth. It's way too informal. That's his name. That's not what we do here. No. And so if I can't call, like when the kids are here, I just call you Mr. John because that's what they call you. It sounds formal. It sounds like a title. But when we're being us, like with y'all or in a kink space, he's daddy when I'm really comfortable. Or he's John Brownstone if I have to talk about him. And people get very confused. It's like, you know, Cher's got one name. Madonna's got one name. You've got two. John Brownstone. That is, and then when I need a shorthand, I'll just do JB.
JB.
And people now know what that means too, but that's why. Yeah. I think anybody who's ever curious, you could probably track my comfort level with how often you could hear me start calling you daddy on a recording. That's been my hardest. And it's the strangest to me because it is a place where in good times I'm happiest. In bad times, it's very pitiful and big, big crocodile tears. But when I'm happy, it is my absolute happy place. So it's weird that was the hardest thing. Not beat my ass, not hard. Yeah. Tell me what to do, not hard. Call me baby girl and let me like watch Disney movies. We still have not gone to see a Disney movie in theaters or an animated movie. And part of that is because I feel if the kids don't want to see that movie, I feel very weird being an adult knowing that adults go to those movies without kids, but Like, what if I'm the only adult surrounded by little children? Won't that look weird? And that is still a hang-up I have on my baby girl side.
Okay. So, see, for me, I think the way I overcame my thing about being the sadist was at one time I had a sit-down, heart-to-heart talk with a submissive masochist at a munch. And we did talk about this in a prior episode, so I'll just kind of give the Reader's Digest version real quick here. But she basically said that as a masochist that craves pain, being the sadist, spanking them, flogging them, whatever the case may be, giving them that pain is an act of love because it's something that the masochist desires.
Right. Exactly. You're not forcing any lack of consent, then you're forcing somebody to accept right. something. But when it's negotiated, agreed upon, and the other side to your sadistic nature is like, please do this, mm-hmm. then it's something, it's a gift. It's giving and receiving pleasure or right. needs or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And I think when we, there are always going to be people who refuse to see it that way because that doesn't fit their narrative of, you know, how awful we must be if we're into kink or whatever. But I think if, for anybody conflicted about your own desires, especially if you're the one inflicting the pain or mm-hmm. doing the degradation, if the other person is, you know, actively asking for it and can speak, is a consenting adult and can advocate on their own behalf for themselves, you're not doing anything to them. You are engaging in a shared experience that they also want. And so therefore, right. Society can go fuck itself. And quite frankly, mm-hmm. if society would fuck itself, we'd probably have a better society.
And that is the big thing, because in between a sadist and a masochist, there is consent.
Right.
And there is also a safe word that if something does go too far, it stops.
Right. We're going to go through the live stream questions, but there's a couple things that I want to address because they're related to this particular question. Okay. Jennifer, my definition of feminism tracks with yours. Feminism is about having the freedom to choose my own path and the options of the same paths as everybody else. And feminism has to intersect with race and sexuality, and all of the things. It can't, it's gotta, that those choices have to be available for everyone, to be real feminism in my mind. And submission, when fully consented to, fully negotiated, not a symptom of abuse, not, it is feminism. It is the epitome of fucking feminism because the whole world has been telling me I'm a 90s baby. The world's been fucking telling me I don't need no goddamn man and I can do what I want and I can have it all, even though at this age, having it all, we got to redefine what the fuck that means.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, supposed to be this independent woman who earns her own money and raises the kids or doesn't have kids and. And I know all of that. And I'm aware of what my choices are. And I choose to submit. It's an act of feminism. Now, other people don't get that choice. It is foisted on them or they're manipulated into it. That moment, that specific moment, is not feminism. So I pay attention to a little bit of the discourse online about feminism. I try to keep myself educated, especially where feminism needs to intersect with race and sexuality. And there are certainly a lot of issues out there I'm not qualified to speak on, so I'm not going to. But yeah, for me, being a submissive is for me, and I would not put this on anybody else because we get to self-identify and label ourselves the way we want to. But being a submissive is a feminist act because I know what my options are. And before I submitted, I did live that life and wanted something different. And I was the, you know, brought home the bacon, wore the pants in the family, all that stereotypical stuff that a lot of us were taught or heard, especially in the 90s, early aughts, about how we were supposed to be as women. And to a certain extent, I still do that. I mean, I'm the higher earner in the family, and mm-hmm. I am certainly in charge of things. But one of the choices I get to make, one of the paths I get to go down for from my own free will, understanding what all my other choices are is submission. So I agree with you, Jennifer, that submission can be absolutely be an act of feminism because it's about the choice you make. Yeah, and anytime somebody tells you you can't be a feminist because you've chosen something they don't agree with, Jennifer's got the right response. Laugh your ass off and move the fuck on. They don't live your life. Mm-hmm. They're not, this is, they get to go do what they want to do. You're going to do what you're going to do. And that to me is part of feminism too. Having those freedoms, which not everybody has, even though we live in 2019, having those freedoms to live your life to the fullest. That is a feminist act as well, when you have those freedoms to do it. The other thing somebody mentioned, was it Aria? Yeah. Go to the movie at midnight for my baby girl self. That's a great idea, except by midnight, I'm really fucking tired. I went from rant to movie. Sorry, y'all. You're going to get whiplash with this one today. But a good suggestion, but I am so tired at that time. Okay, let me get back. We have, this question is from Aria, which I just said hi, Aria. So hi, Aria. What are your favorite thuddy impact play implements? Floggers.
Floggers. Yeah, floggers.
Big,
hand down.
Soft floggers. Mm-hmm. Like floggers, like any other impact play toy, it the way it feels is not just about how it's used and who wields it and all that. It's also the materials.
Yeah.
So we have tried some that are really stiff and really hard and certain. Not my favorites, but the soft, big, huge falls. Those are the strands. Nice and wide, soft, like deer hide.
Yes.
Suede. Now, those can sting. He knows how to flick them and make me, like, want to red out. I don't, because I know if I could just, like, breathe, he's going to give me that deep tissue massage that I'm really here for. But that for me, yeah, it's going to be a flogger every day. And we play with paddles all the time, but I'm like, nope, give me a flogger.
Yeah, I have several floggers, two which she nicknamed the Gentle Giants.
Mm.
Those are large.
They're big. The handles are massive.
Handles are massive on those.
But here's how you know he's a sadist. I called them the Gentle Giants because when he was first introducing me to the joys of floggers, they were gentle. And then he was like, you know, I'm a sadist bastard. Flick. And I have screamed at the sharp snap of pain from my Gentle Giants.
Yeah, because you hit with the tips.
Yes.
And it's got a bite to it. But if you hit with the falls, just bring the falls around.
Oh, it's so delightful.
It's like a deep tissue massage.
Oh, it's so delightful.
And size doesn't matter. last year at the shed, I bought a little, and I mean little, handle and all included. It's probably about 12 inches.
Right.
And it's deer hide.
Oh, it's also delightful. Until you're mean.
It's very, very soft. And she loves it. Sometimes in the evening, you know, we have to be quiet a little bit. I'll take that out and just give her a few strokes with it.
That's nice.
And she loves it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, hands down for nice study, definitely floggers.
And just because I always feel like I want to warn people, because some people go, ooh, let me go do a flogger because I like thud. Just, you can make anything stingy. You can't make anything thuddy, but you can make anything that's thuddy stingy. It's just all in how it gets used. But yeah, floggers.
Mm-hmm.
And what I like is, while there are some really cool techniques to throwing a flogger, and I don't mean throwing it across the room, I mean like the way you handle it, you don't have to know those techniques right away to have a good outcome. You can literally just let it fall as you sort of swing your arm. There, we saw some people at the shed who were doing these beautiful, like, Florentine patterns.
Yes.
And really, like, holy shit, come at me with that, please. But that, they didn't know me. That would have been inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
But those things you want to go to workshops for, you want to watch videos, you want to practice. Even the first time you throw a flogger, like, just a simple, like, toss it out in front of you, you want to practice on the bed and the pillow first. But that one doesn't take a lot of technique and skill. You don't have to go to a whole bunch of classes for that. You can do that with just a little bit of practice to get the feel of it. Right, we have lots.
I know.
Right, we're going to get there.
Okay.
Can I finish these questions?
Okay.
Anybody who thought this would be a short episode? Okay. And this is the last question in Instagram. which is from Kat, because I can't say the first part of that person's name, so we're going to go with Kat. What has been a surprisingly polarizing topic during your time in the kink community? And it took me a minute, but something definitely came to mind.
Yeah, and for me, something popped right really? Into my okay. mind as well.
Okay.
I think for me, one of the biggest topics that really popped, especially this year, when we moved, we knew there was going to be a shift in communities, mm-hmm. in local communities that we were involved in. And being back where we were in the Pinellas, Hillsborough,
Tampa Bay
area, it is a very liberal area. It's a very open area. And munches and socials and different gatherings just abound. And everybody in the community all work together. They coordinate events. They welcome people with open arms. And while I did not expect that to be the same where we moved here, I was not prepared for how big a difference there was.
And how, I mean, we had heard about it because, you know, we talked to people all the time. We knew that every community was different and that right. some were more open and some were more closed off and some were less friendly. But experiencing it for ourselves and some of those... What I like is in this community, some people are fed up with it, so they're making their own events purposefully to be more open and friendly. That mm-hmm. is the response. So, I mean, when you're in an unfriendly community, you gather with other people to create friendly spaces. But I have sort of learned, overheard, kind of like sat quietly and just taken in information. And some of those events cling to how they're doing things
mm-hmm.
and think that any complaints about feeling unwelcome are ridiculous and have fun with the same five people for the next 20 years. Go for it. I don't care. I don't have to be in those spaces, but it is shocking to me that there are long across the country and the world, there are long time ongoing events or groups that are unfriendly to newcomers and that they somehow still hang on and they're still out there. With regards to that, and this is not my one, but it mm-hmm. brought to mind another polarizing thing that kind of does surprise. It does and it doesn't surprise me. Human nature being what it is, it does not surprise me. Yet, I'm still shocked. It is the idea that if you came into BDSM pre- 50 Shades and also pre-internet, that your BDSM kink experience is somehow more authentic than yeah. people who discover it online. No offense. No. Okay, boomer. Okay, I just... really? Like, it's hard for everybody. It's just a different kind of hard now. Because, quite frankly, it was hard for people who didn't have the internet and who were using right. the backs of magazines and seedy little corners where they might... You had to know somebody, I mean, who knew somebody. That
I did
was
not,
hard.
I did I not. It. I did not come into kink prior to internet.
Right. But you did come in on the early days of the internet.
I did come in on the early days of the internet. Now... I knew I felt kinky way prior to the internet, mm-hmm. Rather young, but not having that ability to find other people because everything was so back alley and,
right.
you know, the back rooms of the bookstores and things like that.
Right.
You know, I thought, oh my God, I'm crazy. I'm not normal. And when I did discover the internet and I realized, holy fuck, I'm not alone.
Right.
Other people feel the way I do. I think that it's wonderful that younger people are discovering themselves at such a young age.
Please be 18 and up before you enter yeah. the spaces.
Yes, absolutely. You know, because there are times I think, oh my gosh, I could have been enjoying this for so many more years.
Your cancer self lives like that with those regrets. I could have done this 20 years ago. It's okay. It's okay.
And I know it is. I know that.
I know I'm a Scorpio bitch.
Stop being sassy, girl.
Okay, Daddy.
Thank you. So, you know, I'm very happy that this form of information is there for people to embrace themselves and know they're not alone and not have to go through those feelings.
Right. And, you know, and I get where older kinksters, long-time kinksters are coming from in the sense when they are critical of how easy it is for somebody to slap a label on themselves, call themselves a dom, but really be a predator, call themselves a submissive, but really just be demanding. I'm thinking this is not true. It's not just femdom and male subs. It's dom and male subs. There's a lot of male subs who do that whole, I've got a list of demands. You'll dominate me, right? Here are my list of demands. Mm-hmm. Like there's some of the critiques of 21st century BDSM discovery are not incorrect. It is very easy to label yourself whatever and then be completely unsafe and not care about educating yourself and not care about, you know, doing the right thing or gaining consent. And the internet makes that really, really, really easy for those people to find a space. And that is absolutely true. But what the internet has also done is allowed people to have to spend less time in agony over why don't I like this kind of thing that the whole world is telling me I'm supposed to like, that missionary sex with the lights off. And I'm over here thinking, can I just tie a bitch up? Like, you know, it allows us to feel a sense of belonging and to understand ourselves a little bit easier than it was 20, 30, 40 years ago. I think there's a, we said this in the episode, a few episodes ago. I think there's a lot to learn from the more experienced kinksters who navigated the lifestyle at a time where they didn't have access to all these tools. At the same time, I think there's plenty to learn from people who are navigating BDSM from an online space. They're learning how to figure out who's real and who isn't. They are having some hard lessons when they get involved with shitty people. They are learning more about the availability and options of kinks and fetishes and activities and titles and labels than somebody who had to do it the harder, old-fashioned way might have done. They're speeding up, to a certain extent, the education process of what it means to be kinky. And while it's not a perfect way of doing things, it's better than the old way. I mean, aren't we supposed to be trying to improve as technology improves? It's not just making, you know, the world a shittier place. It's actually making the world a better place on some levels. We're better connected than ever. We can learn from each other. We should be learning from each other. For anybody who wants to come at me over OK Boomer, I let my Gen Z tell his Gen X mother OK Boomer and didn't smack him. So it's fine. You'll be fine. I don't want to negate the experience of a kinkster who had to literally go into dark alleyways to figure out who they could trust with their kinky selves. But I'm not going to negate the online experience or people who read 50 Shades and went, holy shit, I want this, and they're now figure out kinky.
But see, that to me, and Claire made a very good point, that many minors are discovering kink in an unsafe way on the internet. And that is true. Unfortunately, you know, there was a time when Tumblr, as much as I love Tumblr, there were many people that strived to create a safe space there because there was so much misinformation there.
Which is why places like we exist, and I
think that's where these people who are saying that discovering kink on the internet are really dropping the ball on things, because those people have so much knowledge, so much information. By putting it out on the internet, they could be creating good, safe content. Okay? So, you know, I think to say that, it's not a real way of doing things is not... I'm at a loss for words, but it's not.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I think it's old way versus new way, and there's just going to be some grumpy curmudgeons who just, that's how they feel. And you can feel however you feel, but I am always surprised at how that'll get a heated conversation out of Munch. If you'd like to get the old, I'm not saying old guard, because old guard is a very leather thing, but the expression we use outside of kink would be old guard. The long-term people. When that conversation strikes up, depending on who starts it, if a young person starts it, we'll focus on the internet side. Mm-hmm. And when an older person starts it, I have sat through many a munch where an older person who's old enough to be my father at this point, and I'm 40 now, would literally wax on eloquently about the good old days and how I didn't have this internet stuff. And I'm like, but wait, the only reason you know this fucking munch exists is because FetLife exists. So how bad is that internet thing you got? Right. You want to turn off your internet connection? Does that work for you?
That's like I had somebody at the at my wood turning club say how they will not use new fangled carbon tip tools because that's not really turning. You have to use old school tools.
I want somebody to like.
So I looked at that person. I said, "Do you have a cell phone by chance?" And he said, yes, I do. And I said, well, that's a newfangled tool. Why aren't you using the landline still?
Are you using Instagram to share your stuff?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a polarizing topic. I will touch on my original answer for the polarizing topic. Also, we understand if anybody has to listen to this episode or watch it in parts, we get it.
Yeah.
I was genuinely shocked. And this is, I've only experienced it personally in the local community, but I know it happens online, at the reaction that some kinksters have to Caregiver Little. I was sitting at a munch one time, people that I like I enjoyed hanging out with, but I was still very uncomfortable talking about my baby girl side, calling John Brownstone daddy in front of anybody. I just didn't say much at these events mostly. I know it's shocking, but it did used to happen. And a person went, ugh. When somebody calls their partner daddy or mommy, and they literally did a full body shudder. You want to talk about like shutting me down right there? I mean, they didn't know. They had no idea how I identified, the terms I used. They didn't know anything. And for the first 5 seconds, I was like, I am never saying anything. And then Kayla Lords, person who has an opinion on the internet, came out. And I went, well, actually, and I did a well actually, which on the internet never goes well. But in this moment, I was like, actually, I call my partner daddy, and it's not an age thing. And not everybody who is into being a little is into age. But even those who are into age play, it's an expression of their kinky selves. And when it's done with full consent and understanding and negotiation, it's perfectly healthy, even if it's not for you. We were not real friendly after that. I don't think I actually saw her out of munch after that. I'm sure that had nothing to do with me. But that was my first reckoning with the idea that there are people who will hear daddy dom, mommy dom, little, baby girl, whatever, and immediately like draw some conclusions. And I know it's true now. I've spent a lot more time in the online community where people assume that if you're a caregiver little, that it's like a pedophile thing. No, it's not. I personally, not into age play. It really like is so not my thing. I don't know what the word is for the opposite of a fetish. We talk about how much I hate feet. And I'm like, okay, I know what a foot fetish is. What is the opposite of a fetish where you like literally hate that thing? Like that's how I am about feet. I'm kind of like that with certain age play, but I would never judge other littles for how they express their kink. I just really am not into it. And of course, since that moment, I have seen that sort of reaction in every space I've been in. I remember for a while in our local community, there was this big like drama around the fact that the littles and the baby girls and the baby boys of the local community didn't feel comfortable coming to certain munches because they ran wild. Like they actually went into some like younger age space. I think it was like middle years to younger years, and they like were ridiculous in the restaurant. Like they forgot they needed to be in a vanilla kind of thing.
Right.
And it became this war in the community between, oh, that community person does not like littles. And the littles stopped coming to things because they weren't comfortable. And then the dungeons started finally organizing events or spaces within an event that were specific to littles.
Well, see, that's the thing. I mean,
oh my God.
prior to the daddies and the littles, people would go to munches. You know, even if they were in leather families, but because they were held in manila places, people would not wear collars. They would not wear their leathers. Right. No fetish gear. All right? Because you're in a public setting, and the other people in the restaurant...
The vanillas.
Did not consent
right.
to that.
We do not do... We try not to do public expression of our kink where other people cannot consent to it.
Right. So... It was tried to explain to these littles, you know.
Who were, they were exuberant. They were excited. Yeah. And you love that. But mm-hmm. also, and I see this as a baby girl who would love to feel more comfortable just being my baby girl self everywhere I go. There are times I don't get to use my baby girl voice because nobody's going to treat me like the grown ass adult that I am if I do. And my argument would be to people who are like, well, it's just who I am. Well, do you go to work and use your little voice with your boss? Because if you do, you got a better boss than I ever mm-hmm. had. Like, there are just times when you have to tamp down on it a little bit.
Right.
Just to respect everybody else's mm-hmm. privacy. And the fact mm-hmm. that if vanilla people are around, they can't, like... they don't get the option to say, yeah, I'm okay with this. Like, that's not how this works.
Right.
But that was a very polarizing thing in the community. Yeah. And I saw it first in our local community. And then as the more time I spent online, especially Twitter, because I just see a lot more on Twitter. But certainly I've seen some screenshots and some links from FetLife where it blows up occasionally.
Yeah.
That is a very polarizing thing. The caregiver little dynamic versus not. And some of the preconceived notions, and I've had many, many people not knowing anything about me. They were not talking to me, but I've had many, many people say in my hearing, oh, I can't stand it when somebody calls their partner daddy. And now I'm that person who'll be like, oh, bitch, we gonna use this one a little bit. But at the time I was like, don't say anything. You know, I got a little bit more confidence now because mm-hmm. quite frankly, non-kinky people sometimes call their partner daddy. Like, what? Like,
it's kind of a southern thing, right?
No, sometimes. I've heard it used.
Blanche Devereaux.
Well, it is a parenting thing sometimes. Like, when I was still married to the first, that one. As my kids were growing up, I stopped calling him by his name. He became daddy, but not in the way you're daddy. Not in any way the way you're daddy. But I would just refer to him as daddy. Go tell daddy you want this. Go tell daddy you want that. And so that becomes very common. And then I've got my bestest bestie. She has her. They did not have biological children together. When she married him, she already had her daughter. Her daughter has never referred to him by dad, pop. Whatever, like, just always by his first name. And she has called that man daddy in front of anybody she was comfortable with, at least, since I've known her, and I've known her 20 years. And I did, once I learned about kink, I was like... But I've had conversations with her now. They might be kinky, like kinky sex, but not in the way that we talk about kinks. Mm-hmm. We've talked about a lot of things sexually, but we've never talked about that. But she's called him daddy for, like, forever. And then there's, like, people who use Poppy, which I think... Poppy's kind of sexy, mm-hmm. actually. I could probably call another partner Poppy. I couldn't call you that. You're daddy. But but I don't know that it's a regional thing. But the people who, you know, so it's... There's a lot of judgment out there. And there's judgment for every... There's judgment for every dynamic within kink. And then, of course, there's the judgment outside of kink looking into kink. Then there's judgment against each other within the kink community about how we found kink and how we express our kink and how we play and blah. Blah, blah. I'm here for judgment-free fucking zone. That's all I'm saying, okay? I want you to have consent. I want you to fucking communicate like adults. I want you to be a legal adult. I know that the younger folk are out there. They slip in every once in a while. I find out they're watching or they're visiting a site, and I'm like, what are you doing? The moment I find you, I block you. So just so you know. Not because I don't want you to learn if you are under the legal age, but because I don't want to get booted off a fucking platform because a minor was watching my shit. So, that being said, John Brownstone is off screen and away from the mic and just had a little coffee-gasm over in the kitchen. But yeah, there's, you know, there's judgment everywhere and there's, I want you to learn and we got to learn and that's why we're here, but ooh, let's just like put the judgment down.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm going to check a couple more places for questions.
Okay.
And then if I don't have questions in those places, then we will go to the live stream chat for anybody listening or watching later. I know trying to find the perfect schedule so everybody who wants to come to a live stream is basically impossible, and I know that. But if you ever get the chance to come to a live stream, definitely just lurk in the chat, if nothing else, because it's a great space. There's people creating community there without us helping. I mean, we're just here. We're just the talking heads, and they're chatting with one another and educating each other, and it's amazing. Okay.
Yeah, that I agree with you, Jennifer, because one of the things that, you know, is kind of the basis of the community is your kink's not my kink, but that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
okay.
It, yeah, you would think that people in the kink community would be the least judgmental.
Yes.
In that aspect.
Okay. I'm going to go through these questions.
Okay.
Anybody who needs a break from listening or watching later, this is a good cutoff point because there are lots of questions in this live stream chat. CDC, before she had to go to a meeting, sorry, CDC, if you're watching later, her question was, what does your Christmas morning look like? Ours is controlled chaos, more or less. The kids are older now. It's not as fun as it used to be.
No.
I mean, it's also nicer. I get a cup of coffee before we're opening shit, which is really nice.
They're not up at the butt crack of dawn anymore.
Unless they really think they got something I wanted, but we have learned how to be really sneaky with that. So the kitten, neither of the kids believes in Santa Claus at this point. The last year was the year the youngest was like, oh, there's no Santa.
He figured it out, yeah.
Right. He didn't want it to be true, but I let them believe in Santa, but if they ever asked me point blank, I was never going to lie.
Mm-hmm.
That was how I decided to play that one. Because it killed me. I felt like I was lying to them for years.
He found out at school, right?
I think
wasn't
he
at school?
I think so. And he was kind of devastated. Like, they said there's no Santa. And I was like, well, Santa can live in your heart. And I did that bullshit thing that parents around the world do. but what we started when we believed in Santa and we keep going is they're really good presents because it's always, they're at that age and it's always some giganto thing. Do not get wrapped and put under the tree until Christmas Eve. That way there's some element of surprise. They know we're buying it. They know their grandmother has lost her mind and is just constantly shipping shit to our house from Amazon. We had boxes that you could have hit a body in with just one item in that box.
Show up at the doorstep, yeah.
Oh my God, I felt so sorry for the UPS driver. So these days, they might wake up a little early, but they're not waking up at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning anymore. There have been mornings I've finished my cup of coffee, and they're like, and then I'm like, maybe we should go knock on a door. And I think that's going to happen this year. Because one, they go to bed later. Two, they're both, even though they're different ages, they're both in this mode of sleeping like the dead. So tornado can come through. They're not waking up. But that's how we do it. We make sure their big stuff that they could try to guess does not come out till after they've gone to bed, which is a little stressful because, I mean, sometimes you're wrapping at midnight still. Mm-hmm. No kids believing in Santa. I'm still wrapping at midnight. And then we designate somebody to wear the Santa hat that John Brownstone is currently wearing. And they pass out presents to each person who is waiting. You know, if it's just the four of us, then everybody gets a present. Then we all kind of open at the same time. Sometimes it's we go in rounds, pass out one present. Everybody opens and we pass out. And sometimes it's just pass them all the fuck out and we just open. This year we'll have family right here in town. So I don't know if we'll wait till family comes over. If we'll just do unwrapping twice. I usually make cinnamon rolls. Found a pretty good keto cinnamon roll recipe, so that's probably what we'll do. They're ugly as fuck because they don't look like real cinnamon rolls.
But they taste good.
They're good. So I might do that again this year. I did that for Thanksgiving. And then we very quickly put all the trash away, and then we tend to go to our separate quarters because at that point we got something to play with. And another cup of coffee. Pretty low key. I mean, I prefer it that way. Anyway, when they were really little and it was like, Santa, Santa, and my mother would make it look like Santa had vomited presents all over her house. Yeah, it was a little bit wilder. But now it's pretty quiet. We have a slow start to the day. Open some presents. This year, I'm really excited, though, because we got the boys things that they really want. But we were like, we can't get that for you. And we didn't think we could until we found them on sale. Like, good Black Friday sales this year. So, I'm excited.
Yep.
So, there's that. Okay. Let's see. I've got all these little... I went all the way back up to the top of the live stream. There's like, I'm sending you a package. I'm sending you a package. Yeah. Somebody asked about the difference between property and a slave. And that is a difference in how you view it and the titles you choose to use. Some people would say slave is property. I'm your submissive and you consider me your property.
Yeah.
It's how you view... There's only a difference if you want there to be a difference.
I think it's a matter of semantics. Is that the proper word?
Yes. Yeah. And there are people who take the idea of, quote, property very seriously. I have seen things like brandings and tattoos.
Oh, yes.
I am a little leery of that because I am of the mind that life fucking happens and relationships don't last forever. I want to get a tattoo with John Brownstone, but I can't imagine even now allowing him to somehow, quote, brand me or tattoo me as property because that, for me personally... I'm just like, no, we're going out of this life like Thelma and Louise, but I also know shit happens. But there's the difference. If there is a difference, it is up to the individual person to decide there's a difference between property and slave. I'm not a slave. I'm submissive. I'm baby girl. We use the term property like he, quote, owns me. Obviously, he does not actually own me. That is not possible. But it's also negotiated. So whatever those terms mean to you, it's completely negotiated and consent can be withdrawn at any time. Some people try and say, oh, if you're somebody's property or, oh, if you're somebody's slave, you can't withdraw consent. Fuck you and the horse you rode in. Yes, you can. Your method might be different.
Yeah.
And I would recommend in a more micromanaged relationship that you absolutely negotiate the method for how you do that. But you do that on some level. We always have the freedom to withdraw consent. People who tend to... Not always, not everybody, never, always, or everybody, but people who tend to identify as a slave, they don't want to have a lot of, they want their partner to make a lot of the decisions for them.
Right. There are people who want to be micromanaged.
Right. But that does not mean that they cannot, within whatever method works for them, make that stop at any point. And whether you call yourself property or slave or submissive, that is always true.
Yep.
Okay, let's see. I'm going through. Okay, here we go. Sorry, y'all. I'm scrolling. So I'm singing while I'm scrolling. And I have a shitty singing voice. I don't know why I keep doing that to y'all. This is a rhetorical question, but I feel the need to... put it out there, Silent Wing Dust. Did you know it takes about 12 brandy-soaked cherries to create a buzz? I did not, but now I'm glad to know that. Also, I think I'd like some brandy-soaked cherries. They're not keto. I don't care. let's see. Okay, my Alfonso asked, did I miss one?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Oh, Nicole. Sorry, Nicole.
Yeah.
It's the scrolling. How do I get past being so independent and give up control, but yet not upset... daddy and balance and work and kids and everything and the vanilla mindset. Time. At a certain point when it comes to giving up control, you have to kind of take a leap of faith. If the person you're with is somebody you trust, somebody that you feel comfortable with, even though you're scared to do something new, because every time you do something new, it can be exciting, but also a little scary. You kind of have to take that first step. We both always recommend starting really slow and small. One thing that you're going to do that you've never done before as a submissive. One task, one rule, one something. And you get really good at it and you get comfortable with it and you realize how you think about how you feel about it and doesn't work for you and you modify and then you add something else. But was it just last week we talked about it? Maybe, no. The episode we did on independent submissives, it is in our YouTube archive, and it's also at the website lovingbdsm.net. I talk specifically about being very independent and not needing no damn body. And how a little bit, I think I touched on sort of how the giving, how you give up some of that control. It is
and there are things she absolutely will not give up control on.
You don't have
and that,
to.
And that's something that was negotiated with us early on.
Right.
Like her work.
Don't even try it.
And in all honesty, I don't have any desire to be in charge of her work.
And that's the thing. Being a submissive to your partner does not mean you have to give up control of every single solitary part of your life. If you want to, if that works for you, if you choose to, go for it. Cool. That's awesome. I give up a lot of control of my life, and sometimes it is very frustrating, because that's the other thing you have to learn how to handle is being told no and not getting your way. Mm-hmm. It's a rough lesson, by the way. Yeah. But within the parameters that we've negotiated, there are certain things that we are on full footing equals. Parenting,
yeah,
he doesn't get to be the decider. We are equally the decider, which sucks, because that's a thing we fight about, is parenting, because we have two different methods.
Styles. Yeah.
And sometimes those styles complement each other very well, and sometimes they do not, especially when somebody is a 14-year-old little... Oh my God, puberty sucks. But, and my work is one where I ask for his input, but he doesn't get to control it. He can't. He could not possibly control my work. He gets control over other facets of my life that I then have to navigate around work. But being afraid to submit is normal. Being uncertain and unsure and nervous, normal. So you start with one thing, and then you get comfortable with that one thing before you add another thing. There's no rule that says you have to do this quickly. This is a journey. This is a path. This is not a trip you're on where you're trying to get to a destination. This is an ongoing thing. So take your time. Talk to your partner a lot, to the point that you're like, my partner is going to be really tired of hearing about how nervous I am. Good. Then you're talking about it enough, because they need to know what they're dealing with too, because then they can modify their expectations and their demands to fit where you're at in your submission right now. But yeah, check out the episode on independent submissive. And I think there is a blog post that I wrote about that as well.
Companion to it.
Yeah. Okay, let's see. Alfonso's question of, my submissive wants me to use a single whip. What site do you recommend? I think Ben actually answered this, of a tack store.
Yeah.
For high quality, that's the best place you can go.
Depending on what kind of whip you want. To start with, I would say you probably want a smaller whip. Definitely not. You definitely don't want to go to something like a bull whip.
You need training on that anyway.
Yeah. And most of the whip workshops I have been at, these are people who have been throwing whips for years.
Literal years, yeah.
And they will not throw a bull whip at a person. They will use shorter whips. Stuff like snake whips, signal whips, type of thing. As far as sights to go, I'm not really sure as far as learning, but if you're on FetLife, there are some really good resources on Fet.
Yeah, you can just do a search. They'll come up.
Dex,
yes, I can see his face. I can't think of his last name. Dex. Yes. I can't think of it.
You were at that workshop with me
that time.
And he was amazing.
There are. You can, even if you're not trying to socialize with other kinksters, you're not looking for a partner, FetLife is great as a resource to get to know who's out there. There's some bad information on FetLife. There always is, everywhere you go. But that's where the people are to learn about that stuff. And so then there would be groups and forums and places to go just learn about whips.
Now,
so
Dex has a book out.
They all have books out.
Yeah. Well, Dex has a book out.
I would bet money if you just did a Google search for whips, BDSM, and the name Dex, D-E-X, he'll come
You'll
up.
Find it.
He's been around forever.
Yes, he has.
Okay. Lindsay asked, and this is a good question. It's going to be a similar answer to the one we already gave, but Lindsay asked, my depression had pulled me out of the lifestyle. I'm finally getting back to normal, but I'm struggling to get back into DS. Do you have any pointers? I have two. One, Don't try and jump back in full force to where you were when you came out of it. Okay. This is like being new. You got to sort of warm up.
Dip your toes in the water.
Right. You might not have to go as slow as a total newbie, but I would ease in to it. The other thing I would do, depending on how your life has gone, what's gone on, any maybe treatments you went through, therapy or medications for your depression or whatever your life looks like right now, to a certain extent, I would renegotiate your DS. Maybe not from scratch. Like certain things might just apply no matter what. But the tasks you might have had, the rituals you might have had, the rules you might have had, some of those things might not fit anymore. So have many very serious conversations with your partner about what DS needs to look like for y'all right now. And you can have if the desire is to get back to where you were, that's the goal to shoot for, but it's not what you're trying to do on day one. But I still, even if ultimately the decision is we want what we had before this depressive episode, that's fine. But then the next conversation is how do we get back there slowly and gently and ease into it? People don't want to hear when I tell them they need to go slow because it's not fun. And there's also this sense of that you're somehow, quote, failing if you're not back at full force within like 5 minutes. But that's, you're not. This is the ebb and flow of life. And these things are gonna happen. The DS we had when I went into that very anxious period and my bipolar swings were just constant looks different than the DS we have now. The DS we have now also looks vastly different to the DS we had before that mental health episode.
Yeah.
You adjust as life moves on anyway. Right now, it's depression that interrupted the flow and it's gonna cause a swing.
Because
the next time it'll be something with kids or it'll be something with work. Yeah.
Because something you have to understand with DS, it's not, okay, this is what we're doing and this is how it's going to be. It's going to be a straight linear line and does not deviate. That's not how it is. It's fluid. It has to ebb and flow with whatever life is throwing at you.
Right. So take your time, lots. I'm sure, I know Lindsay, I'm sure y'all are having lots of conversations about this.
Right.
Keep talking and ease into it. Be kind to yourself, be kind to each other. Understand that nobody's grading you and there's no award for being the most submissive or the most dominant or the best. You work with what you have today and figure out what it looks like for you today. Worry a little less about what it used to look like, even if you're trying to get back to that, even if that's really what you want to get back to. But be really honest with yourselves, because sometimes we decide, I want what I had 6 months ago, but it doesn't fit anymore. And actually, maybe you want something slightly different. Those are the honest conversations to have.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ben asked, how do you transition from being kind and cuddly to being stern and mean? Baby girl wants me to be meaner, and I have a hard time shifting gears. That one is for you, John Brownstone.
It is difficult shifting gears. It is very easy to be the kind and indulging daddy.
It's fun to be that kind. I like that kind.
You know, let's cuddle, and baby girl wants a treat, and, you know, but then you're like, oh my God, baby girl's constantly asking for treats. Baby girl's constantly asking for later bedtime. Baby girl, what's going on here?
Baby girl's taking advantage of this shit.
Exactly.
Yes, we are.
And they will. So, you know, there comes a point, not to say that there's age play involved here, but it's kind of like raising kids. You want to indulge your kids and be kind to them and have fun, but there comes a point where you just dig your heels in and enough is enough.
That's kind of sexy, by the way. I'm not going to lie. So I fully believe I don't ever mean to be bratty. The way I personally define brattiness just does not fit me and I don't like it. But I know I'm sassy and I know I push.
Yes.
And I think on a subconscious level, sometimes I push so that you'll have that turn and you'll become mean daddy because there is something sexy about it. Except when I really want something, then there's nothing sexy about it. I have also not a behavioral thing of the DS side, but in a kinky, rough sex kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
I have not done this in a long time because I have so many aches and pains with shoulder and neck. I have to be very careful. But there have been times when you were being like the sweet daddy, even in bed. Like, I get a little hair pull and there'd be a little ass smack. But I'm like, oh, Lord, this is almost vanilla. This is too tame. Where's the pain? Who brought the pain? Not my daddy. And I've actually said, and it's weird to say because I don't like dirty talk either. Like, it really, like, fucks with me. But I'm like, you can be mean to me. Like, be a bastard through this. And and even that is a process, because there was one time I basically said, you know, fuck me like you hate me. And I was in a headspace where he could have gone further than he did. And when we were done, I was like, that was good. It was like I was grading him. That was good. You know, next time you could be meaner. And then months later, I verbalized. I was like, get mad, be mean. And he went too far. I'm like, too far.
Yeah.
So if we're talking about in a behavioral way, but in the power exchange way, there's trial and error to all of it. But yeah, you'll listen to John Brownstone. If she means at any point during the kinky fuckery, I'm going to recommend she learns how to just tell you. You might also...
Well, yeah, in that aspect, yes, absolutely.
Because that will help. But it might also be, if you're into it, and not everybody is because I know I'm not, if you negotiate scenes, if like certain, I'm going to say bratty because it's just the word we have, bratty behavior, like just sends you to that mean daddy place or mean dom place, maybe you negotiate a scene where that's how she behaves. And even though you know it's, you know, consensual scene, it pushes you to that point, and then you act out that scene where you're a little bit meaner. So I guess it just depends on in what aspect of your relationship she wants you to be stern daddy. I do not advocate the behavior from a submissive or baby girl where I push to get you to react that way, unless we've negotiated it, unless it's part of the dynamic. Like, to me, if it's not part of the dynamic, then it's a little bit manipulative. It's a little bit of topping from the bottom. I'm trying to get a reaction that I want. So I'm going to do things that go against our stated rules. Whereas it would be much easier to go, hey, I want this from you. How can we make this happen? If I behave in a bratty way, if I say certain things, can that be like the signal that I really want this reaction from you? And also, by the way, if you ever want to play with being mean, there's nothing meaner than not giving somebody the reaction that they expect. Yeah, you hear the sadist laugh, right? So... it's worth having a conversation about exactly what that means, when she wants it, how she wants it, what you can give, what the signals might be for you to switch gears. Is it a scene thing? Is it a kinky fuckery thing? Is it as part of your power exchange thing? And those are the conversations.
That was a good point, because my mind initially went right to, you know, rules and that kind of, yeah.
Because there's a lot of different ways to kind of come at that.
True.
That was when CDC had to go to her meeting. Alfonso asked another question, and I think there's some answering in the live stream, but I want to address it. What are some good gift ideas for a submissive for Christmas? The very first answer to that is the things your submissive likes in terms of their kinks. So do they love wearing a collar, or would love multiple collars, or maybe it's a collar? Do they like a certain kind of kink, impact play? They want to try bondage, they want to try sensation
nipple play, nipple clamps, things. Yeah,
what are they into?
Right.
There's no one good gift for all submissives. Is your submissive still learning? Sometimes a good gift is a resource, like a book. Maybe it's I'm thinking of, like, Submissive Guide does a Patreon where you get extra stuff. If your submissive is still learning and is interested in learning, but maybe they can't afford a Patreon for a year, you sign them up and you pay for it, but they get the access. So the question to what's a good gift for a submissive is, what is your submissive into? What are they interested in? What do they like? Where are they at in their journey? And then that's the good gift for them.
I got you and Natasha for Christmas one year.
Yeah, that's a best damn Christmas present ever. ever. So, let me see. Ben says, I'm having a hard time getting past, quote, it's wrong to make other people do things for your own benefit. So that's a style. It's a style of dominance. Not everybody has that style.
And on the other side of that, submissives want to serve.
Depending on the type of submissive they are. Depending on the type of submissive.
I mean, for like you, you get very upset if I make my own coffee.
Right, because the ritual is I make the coffee. Right.
There was one morning I had gotten up, made my hot coffee, which she had prepped for me the night before.
Because that's what I do.
That's what she does. And then normally she is up by then, by the time I'm finished, and she will make me my cup of iced coffee. Mm-hmm. Well, this was a weekend. She was sound asleep, and it was like 10 o'clock in the morning by that point, and you were still sleeping. I was like, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and make my coffee. I'm going to let you continue sleeping. Well, apparently she was awake, and she heard the tinkling of the spoon in my cup as I was stirring my coffee.
And yet, you know what? In that moment, you could not possibly have known that if you had come into the bedroom and been like, baby girl, are you up? Will you make my coffee? That I would have been like, I'll make your coffee. Because you might have been waking me up. Yeah. But yeah, had you come in and been and seen that I was awake, I would have been like, yeah, give me a minute. I'll be there to make your coffee. Yeah, it's just how it goes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Whitney asked in the live stream, when starting with a new play partner, do you think that DOMs need to adjust how they play based on the new sub, or does the sub adjust? The DOM adjusts.
Yes. especially if you're talking about
impact
play.
Anything with pain, anything with strong sensation.
Because DOM adjusts. They have to adjust to your level.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, I knew one person who, when they would play with new partners, new dominants, what they would do is they would rate a scale. Like if they're going to be playing with a paddle, okay, would tap with a paddle, rate that from 1 to 10, 1 being the lowest to 10 being the highest.
Mm-hmm.
That gives them a gauge of where you...
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah, you might build up to the DOM's level of whatever you're doing, but you start at your level. You're the one feeling the sensation. You're the one being tied up. You're the one whose body is contorting into impossible whatever. It is always at your level first. You can build up later if you so choose. Now, if we're talking about compatible kinks, it's about being compatible with your partner. You don't ever, a sub should not be doing something that's within their hard limits just to make a dom happy. That's some bullshit. A dom should not be doing something that's within their hard limits just to make a sub happy. So it's got to be something you both want to experience together. But the dom has to temper their intensity to that activity to meet where you're
because
at
because it's
right
supposed
now.
To be enjoyable for you as well.
And you're the one that could get physically hurt by something.
As far as you know, titles and protocols and permissions, that is something that the two of you need to negotiate. What you feel comfortable with, you know, to go through that.
Yep, exactly. Let's see. I'm going through the questions again. Mm-hmm. There's conversations between folks. Did I go too far?
You jumped ahead.
I'm sorry. No. I went too far down. Sorry, y'all. I don't want to miss anything. Oh, my Lord, I jumped way too far down.
Yeah, you did.
Sorry.
My goodness gracious.
Okay, there we go. People asking questions and answering them so they don't need us. Let's see.
Okay, there was
That was a question about where to talk more.
Yeah.
FetLife is a place. If you want to talk to the people who listen to Loving BDSM, this live stream chat is the easiest way right now.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have a chat method anywhere else. There have been requests for a chat method, but we just don't have the bandwidth right now.
Right. So, FET is really your best bet at this point.
The Cage.
The Cage is another good resource.
And any social media you're on, there are kinky people there.
Yeah.
They're everywhere. We're everywhere. Mm-hmm. Alfonso asks, where do you go to learn how to swing a flogger or single whip tails? There are YouTube videos.
There are Fet Life groups. Yeah.
There are, if you have access to local community, like in your town where you live, there might be workshops. That's a good place.
That would really be the best way. That would be the top recommendation for me. If you have access to a local community and there are workshops, even if there aren't workshops in your local community, talking with other tops, usually they are very open to sharing that information and teaching someone. So that would really be your best resource.
This question is way too big for this live stream, but mm-hmm. Vanessa did ask, how do DS relationships work? My fiance mentioned DS and was unsure about it all. It's what we call a power exchange. The dominant has control. Submissive gives up control. What that means for your individual relationship is where you're comfortable giving up or having control. Many people start in the bedroom first, kinky mm-hmm. sex. Then they move, if they so choose, outside of the bedroom. And we have an entire site devoted to what DS is. So I would highly recommend lovingbdsm.net. Yeah. That's a really big question. It's a good question. It's a question I totally understand, but yeah, it's a complicated question. And somebody else already commented, and this is absolutely true. It is different for every mm-hmm. single relationship.
Each relationship is unique in its own way.
Alfonso is full of questions. Thank mm-hmm. you, Alfonso. What do you recommend to keep our DS relationship going without getting bored? Constantly try new things.
Yeah.
Whether that's rules and protocols and tasks and what you want to do that's like not the kink and sex, or it's the kink and sex.
Mm-hmm.
Truly. Try to learn about something before you try it.
Yes.
Like, don't go dripping hot wax on your partner just because you heard somebody say it on the internet. Like, do some research.
Yep. But you want to use the right kind of wax and...
Right. Part of any DS relationship needs to be constant communication. And I think sometimes people go, oh, you mean we're supposed to be talking about what's wrong all the time and how we're going to fix it? Well, one, yes. But two, talk about the things you want to try. Talk about the mm-hmm. things you've read about. Talk about the porn you've watched. Like, what have you seen, heard, or read about that kind of interests you? That's something to be talking about, too.
And have fun with it. I mean, let's face it, we've talked about it in past episodes. Things don't always go right. You know what? It's never always going to go right. And try to take a lighthearted approach to it. You know, laugh at it when it happens and just have fun.
Yep, exactly. Okay, Ben did give a little bit more clarification on his question. She wants degradation, humiliation play.
Mm.
I would say that's a scene to negotiate, Ben.
Yeah.
There are people who can switch in mid-moment between really like kind, gentle, sweet, whatever, to I'm a mean bastard. And for those people, that's cool. You do that sometimes.
Yes.
Oh my God, he can go one moment to the sweetest daddy dom you've ever met and you just want to pinch his cheeks to a sadistic bastard.
To slapping her face and calling her names that would make most people blush and cringe.
Just because some people can do that doesn't mean you have to do that.
Right.
So if your partner is asking for humiliation play, rougher play, but... negotiate that as a scene.
Mm-hmm.
Plan a scene. And as long as it's within the limits you're willing to explore, you get to have your own hard limits too. And if mm-hmm. certain things are just too far for you, then they're just too far for you. And that's okay. That's absolutely okay. Let's see. I think we've gotten through all the questions. So... that was a lot.
Yes.
Hopefully we've helped somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We
need to head into the bonus section.
Oh, I know we do. Well, we're out of questions. I will say, if anybody is watching the live stream and has questions, we're not going to answer them today because we do need to eventually wrap up. And yes. I know we have plenty to say in the bonus section. Mm-hmm. For video watchers, if you like this video, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. Mm-hmm. Podcast listeners, I will remind you, if we have not scared you off or bored you to tears, mm-hmm. if your podcast app lets you review and rate podcasts, please, 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 please rate and review.
And YouTube watchers, ring the bell. Ring the notification bell. Get notified when we upload new content.
Yes, Downey.
Girl.
I'm doing what the shirt says. Keep it calm and saying yes, Dad.
Yeah.
These are fun. Maybe in 2020 yeah. we plan more of the
Do
asking.
Do a few more of these, yeah.
For anybody who's like had to listen 3 or 4 times to get through the whole thing, that's because there's a lot of folks with a lot of questions. Mm-hmm. Hopefully somebody asked a question that's been on your mind and it helped. Helped you answer it.
Yep.
We do these kinds of Q&As every month in Patreon, though.
True.
And patrons get to ask questions, and mm-hmm. we answer them. And they ask fun stuff,
yeah.
and they ask serious stuff. So mm-hmm. that is patreon.com/klords if anybody's interested. So, yes, we are going to conclude the actual
episode.
Ask Us Anything mm-hmm. episode. Hopefully we helped. If not, feel free, you know, maybe not in this live stream, but in other ways, on Twitter, in email, on FET, wherever, feel free to ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll answer them in the ways we can. Sometimes they become yes. podcast episodes. Sometimes they become blog posts. Sometimes mm-hmm. I can send you the links to where we've already talked about it. And we are happy to help whomever
Absolutely.
We can. Yeah, but now, yeah, we need to do the bonus yeah. section.
Mm-hmm. Are we good?
I'll let other people decide.
Okay.
Keep it kinky, y'all, and we'll see you next week. Daddy? Can I talk to the crickets, please?
If anybody's still here after all this time,
know, right?
Go right ahead, girl, and talk to them.
I might actually be talking to literal crickets
yep.
this time. Ooh, that was a long one.
Mm-hmm.
And there was so much information to share before we could even get into the questions. And
yeah.
I always worry about that when that happens. Because I'm like, oh my God, new people will be like, who the fuck are these crazy bastards? Apparently bastard is my word of the day because I've used it a lot. We should have made that the drinking game. And for anybody who watches primarily on YouTube or you discovered us on YouTube, the reason we do the Keep It Kinky, y'all, is that's how we close out the podcast audio. And then we always went into the bonus section. And the bonus section was born because I got good constructive criticism that I kept going off topic in the episode and people couldn't follow what I was trying to say. So I was like, but there's all this stuff I want to talk about. Bonus section is born. And next week for episode 201, whole damn thing will be a bonus section. So that one is the holiday present to the crickets. Okay, so the woodshed. Was fucking amazing. It was amazing on so many levels. Can I be mercenary for a minute? Can I be capitalistic for a minute? That was the best single day sales for kinky fuckery weapons of ass destruction we've ever had. Ever. We didn't even get to go shop any of the other vendors except the one sitting right next to us. And I shopped first and then Deborah Rothstone went over and was like, oh, which one do you want? And I said, surprise me. So I will be surprised around Christmas. We were that busy. A good portion were just crickets coming up to talk to us and then be really, really kind and like spend some money with us. But it was other people too. And then I went into Kayla Lord's mode and like held court and was like, let me tell you how life is. Totally on brand. But yeah, it was from us. Yeah, you can take that off.
Yeah, I need to lose a hat. It's warm.
From purely a capitalistic, we are here to make some money. That's why we went to the woodshed moment. Best single day of sales
mm-hmm.
ever. Now, we got plans for 2020. I cannot wait to be talking about that more and more when we get into 2020. But that's a good way to end 2019. Ignixie was amazing. She was
yes,
so sweet and kind
was.
And it was so funny because she was like, there's somebody across the room or across the woodshed who would buy one of these if they knew you had it. And I'm like, you are probably one of the only people in this building I will let walk away with merchandise. I know you'll bring it back. And she mm-hmm. did. She would walk away, go show it to somebody, walk it back. We sold things that we did not think people would care about and learned that people really like that stuff. the little baby butt plug keychains. I don't know how much we've talked about with the crickets. We talk about it a lot on Patreon, but I don't know if we've talked about it. They're little mini butt plugs, not for use. And they're on a keychain ring. I got you to make them because they made me laugh. I'm still waiting for the paddle versions, little mini paddles as a keychain. I will have one of those. We had people stop at our table just because they made them smile. They were like, they didn't buy anything and that was fine. And they were just like, this is so cute. And then a sadist was like, you know, you could use this in impact play. And they put the little baby butt plug between their fingers so that the tip was up. And John Brownster did it to me.
Boom, 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 boom.
He did it to my butt and it actually like hurt. I mean, in a good way. It was kind of cool. I was like, of course a sadist came up with that. Getting to talk to everybody, amazing. Getting to meet the people. Hello, like we said at the top, a couple whose name we will not say because we know their real names and we're not here to out them. They made this trip part of their anniversary, and God, I hope that was worth it and a good anniversary. And then friends we know that live in the area that came to see us, and new crickets that we were like, what? And then the shy people who would talk to us for a few minutes, ask a few questions, and then let it slip that they happened to be a cricket. Now, and I was like, you should have walked up and been like, dude, I'm a cricket.
Yeah. Now, they did something different this year than they did in years past. Woodshed Orlando partnered with a group from Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And they put up, they set up one room, Woodshed has two parts to it, two big play areas. And one area they had, where all the vendors were set up. And in the second area, they had what was called the Sensation Stations.
Never even got to see that.
No, we never were able to make it over there. I did wander over there prior to everything starting. And it was amazing what they had going on there. They were doing both demonstrations and, if you had never tried the thing before, you could you could try it.
They had some cool stuff going, didn't
they? They did. Cool stuff. Each spot was a different station. They had one where they were doing electroplay.
Mm-hmm.
They were doing cupping.
That's the one I really want to try.
What else did they have?
Did they do wax?
I think they had wax.
I know they had boot blacking.
They
That's
did boot blacking. They had rope. A lot of different things like that. Needles.
No, yeah, that one's not me. That's a hard limit.
That's nothing. That's something not into either. But they were doing all these different things that people could, you know, see firsthand or even try if they had been curious. You know, because a lot of those things are considered edge play and it takes some knowledge. These were experienced people doing this, and my understanding, it was a big hit.
I would imagine it was. Yeah. There were, I think, more people this year than last
year.
I think the Sensation Stations had a lot to do with it.
Yeah.
It was amazing to be in that room. I mean, there was about a 2-hour period, I think it ended up being. We could not see past the few people who might be staying in front of our table. I lost all sense of whatever was going on in the room. Just all sense of it. We got to see three vendor tables before we started. The one was next to us. That was Collars and Locks.
Yeah.
And like I said, there's a surprise coming to me because I was like, I know what I like, but you're the daddy. Mm-hmm. I don't want to know. Pretend to surprise me.
And Diamond Rope.
Diamond Rope. The rope colors were so beautiful.
She had some beautiful, beautiful rope.
Oh my God, it was so pretty.
It was nylon rope.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful.
Like gem tone
colors. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful so colors.
And then we went over to, I can't remember the name of the shot, but we went over to the flogger.
Yeah,
and an impact.
Sadistic Creations.
Oh my God, and there was a lavender flogger. The falls were lavender and gray, and I'm like, our colors are black and purple, and the derivatives of that we use are lighter purples and grays and silvers. Like that's our bedroom. That's our brand.
Yeah.
That's oh my God. And I watched until we got busy, I kept looking over at their table because it was like across the room from us. And I was like, that lavender flogger is still there, that lavender flogger. And then we got so busy, by the time I looked up again, they'd already packed up. I don't know.
We We were able to talk with a few of the other vendors there, and they were really fantastic people.
Yes.
I'm sorry I didn't get to talk to more.
Yeah, that's, you know? That's the downside. There were a few, I was like, there was a leather worker making harnesses. Well, he wasn't making, they were selling them. Cuffs and collars and harnesses, and I saw a bit gag. A bit gag, if you're not aware, is think of like a horse's bit where they put the long cylindrical thing in the mouth. But it was on a harness. I love a bit gag. It makes me very primal.
Right. And there was a fellow there. He made some beautiful paddles, the knife.
Yes. I never got a chance to look close up at them.
I didn't.
From across the way, and they were gorgeous.
And he and I actually talked several times throughout the day when we had just a few moments. And I had a great conversation. And I'm going to throw this out there. If anybody knows his name, because I did not get his name.
Or if he's listening.
Yeah, or if you're listening, reach out to me or let me know his name, because I'd like to connect back up with him.
Oh my gosh, yes.
Fantastic conversation. Mm-hmm. He loves working with wood as much as I do.
Yeah.
And we had some great conversations in regards to woodworking, and I would love to touch base with him again.
Yeah. There was another directly adjacent to his table was I say girl because she's younger than me. I don't mean girl like little girl, but there was a girl who is, I think she said she was more into pet play, pet play. And so she kind of made sort of the little table. So she had pet play stuff like play cubes and then all kinds of bright, shiny, colorful things. And I kept
glittery
saying,
and yes.
I never got to go over there and look.
No, no.
Never. I was like, what? My life sucks right now. We had such a good day that we were the last ones boxing our shit up. And by the time we started like actually putting, and see, the thing is the market ended at 7 and then the dungeon was opening at 8. So there was no dicking around. Like, it closed down. Put your shit away because we're about to get kinky.
And yes,
so everybody was just real rapid fire. And yeah, I missed.
And yes, Jennifer, you're right. And this was something we talked about.
Having a third person help.
Having some third help because yeah, it was.
There's some vanilla shows that he's thinking of doing next year that I was like, I'm there to help you, but we might actually have to hire somebody to be relief just because they're all day long shows. And we also talked about maybe one day, I don't think 2020 will be the year, vending at something like Florida Power Exchange, FPE.
Right.
And we would have to hire somebody. That's like a 3-day long event.
Three day event. Yes.
We would have to get somebody to help us. So.
And yes, Lisa, that's something I'm going to do too. Try to reach out to the folks
at the shed to find out,
yes.
So, yeah, it was that part of the event, amazing. We had such a good day. Mm-hmm. We went for a steak dinner because, of course, we did. Our little keto asses were like, give me some meat.
We earned it. It was a long day. I wore my kilt.
I was going to say, somebody wore his kilt.
And I wore my motorcycle boots along with it.
So sexy, y'all.
But we got there at, what, like 12:45?
I think so. Yeah. Quarter to one in the afternoon.
And I was standing in those boots till
midnight.
At the show, well after 7.
Right.
And continued to wear them till well after midnight. And my feet were ready to get out of those boots.
He could commiserate with anybody who wears heels.
Yeah.
And his boots aren't heels, but they were like...
Those boots are made for riding. They're comfortable on the bike.
These boots ain't made for walking.
No.
Though.
No.
No. So yeah, we went for dinner. We actually did a little IG Live. We were so high on the feel good, endorphins,
the adrenaline.
Dopamine, like, oh! Like, yep. It's good. So we're sitting and outside of Longhorn, holding our buzzer, waiting to get our table. And I'm like, let's go live. And we just like,
boop.
We probably looked kind of high. We were like, yeah. This is amazing. And then we went back to the hotel. We changed. We changed.
Yeah.
I changed because I had worn leggings and my Loving BDSM t-shirt. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's not what I like to wear to the actual club when we're going to go play.
Yep.
And we did. We went and it was crowded. It was so crowded. Yep. My social anxiety was like, whoa, that's a lot of fucking people.
And again, we have Ignixia to thank.
She got us on equipment. She
knew there was an open cross and she got us to it real quick.
Yep.
And I got her ass stripped and
yes.
flipped to the cross.
And we had a couple of crickets watching. Yes. The play. They told us, and I'm an exhibitionist. I don't give a shit. Like, that's part of why I play publicly. Watch, feel free. And we got worried because when we were done, we were like, oh no, did we scare them off? We didn't do anything extreme, but we were like, did we scare them off? Did we bore them? Was that like the worst thing they've ever done? No, we inspired them
to go find a station and their own place to play. Yes.
And I have to say, on a DS Kinky Fuckery power exchange level, you can know, like, in your head, like, when you're, like, rational, God, we need to play, we need to let some steam off, we need to whatever. I did not realize how necessary it was and how much we needed it until he had me strapped to this massive cross. I've never been across this big. My arms are, like, way out to the side. The next day, I'm like, why are my arms sore? And it took me 24 hours to think about being the way I was strapped to the cross. St. Andrew's Cross, if you're not familiar. I was sassy baby girl. I was in a baby girl headspace the entire time. And he was sadistic daddy, which was the coolest thing because he was playful and he teased. And also he tortured me with pain. And
that
it was
I did.
Great. And we not only let off steam for ourselves, we dealt with some, I think, issues we have had between each other.
Yeah.
Where we have had some disagreements lately, and we've had some moments where neither of us felt the headspace the way we want to, and we've been annoyed with one another. And I feel like every bit of it came through in a playful way, in a very sadistic, lots of pain, use all the hitty things kind of way. And by the time we were done, I was not in what I would classify as like a real subspace. I was a little spacey for sure. Mm-hmm. I was very exhausted. The last ounces of my energy were used up on that cross. And then we could not find like a good comfy place for any aftercare, which that for us is, that's hard for me, but that it was fine. It was just the nature of there was so many people there. But I was absolutely a softer, more submissive version of myself ever. Like, you could have asked me anything and the answer would have been yes, daddy. Like, just but it was the last little bits of energy we gave so much to the market because that's what you do, and it was such a good time, it felt so good, and then we went and had dinner and that felt so good, and we're talking to people and that feels so good, and then we're playing and holy fuck, that felt so good. And then that was it. I was done. And then we found a place to sit after we seemed to kind of get our breath. And then the people, like more people from I don't know where, just sort of came in. And they weren't doing anything wrong, but there were so many. It was kind of standing room only. And they were like pressing in into our little bubble. And I was like, you have to get me out of here.
Yeah. Normally it doesn't bother me. I will sit and I love sitting at the dungeon and just watching scenes and watching people. To me, that's fascinating. But I think it was, even for me, it was just, I was so tired and worn out from the day. I was just like, I'm ready to go too.
Yep. Yeah. And then we didn't go straight to bed, but we didn't. There was a hotel. So hotel sex needs to occur. That night, no.
Mm-mm.
We did not. It was no. But the next morning.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. And it was good. And it was very good. And then so was our breakfast. And so was our trip home.
Yep.
And we were zombies for the rest of Sunday.
Yes.
But it was totally worth every second of it. Mm-hmm. We needed the weekend. We were kid-free for 24 hours. 26, actually, from the time we left to the time I came home. Not that I was counting or anything. 26 hours with no teenagers. And we were just ourselves as Kayla and JB, and
it was great.
And we worked off some tension, and we got to see people, and we just got to, oh my God, the whole fucking thing was amazing. It was so good. And we've been kind of zombies ever since. I am in a clearer headspace. I've been very focused on my work and not letting myself get distracted. Ooh, let me tell y'all, this is life lesson stuff. This is not about kink. This is just about knowing yourself. I wake up Sunday morning after morning hotel sex that was delightful. How many orgasms? I don't know. Wasn't counting. It's Sunday morning hotel sex. We're up. We're moving around. He takes a quick shower. He's like, I gotta go outside to vape. These nicotine little chiclet things are not working anymore. I'm like, have a good time. I pick up my phone and play some word games. I'm gonna check. We were barely on social media the day before. Let me check. My social media platform of choice is Twitter. It's where the most sex bloggers I know happen to hang out. It's where I learn a lot of different things. It's just, that's where I go first. I go into Twitter. And Twitter is Twitter, okay? Problematic, yes. A great place, sometimes. Where the people I like are hanging out, where the people I don't like are hanging out. All of that is true. And I was zen, y'all. I was like, there's not a knot in one muscle of my body right now. And then I scrolled through Twitter. And I saw judgy things. And I saw angry things. And I saw all the things that are always on Twitter, no matter what. Mm-hmm. And I responded by getting anxious. It made me very anxious. It was not the people posting. It was me reacting to it. And that really zen feeling, gone. I know what anxiety feels like in my body. I'm very attuned to it. And one of the signs and symptoms is a choking feeling. It's why we actually have to be very careful with breath play these days, because do it wrong and I have a panic attack because it triggers that in my head. So my throat started to close up like I was choking, and I went, oh my God, I'm anxious. And I closed Twitter and I didn't get like super angry, but I was so upset with myself because it was like, you felt amazing. You were in the best headspace you've been in ages. Scrolling through Twitter, and Twitter was just being Twitter, y'all. People had judgmental opinions. People were like, all of these things are problematic. And I was like, uh-oh, does that mean I'm problematic? Like, all those things are just there. Mood fucking tanked. And it's been very easy since then to go. I still go into Twitter, but to only go every once in a while for a few minutes to get out the moment I see something that's just a little too angry. To focus on the funny things. Like, I've seen some funny things lately, and that's been nice. And I just went, I let that happen to myself, because I couldn't just leave social media alone for a little while. And that was actually, as annoying as that was, and I was really disappointed with myself that I let that happen, but that was a really good reminder that we don't always need social media every moment that we think we do, and that sometimes it's always okay to take a break. Ooh, I'm a big believer in periodic short little breaks away from social media. It helps me personally with my mental health, and my productivity and my focus and my mood. So, but yeah, like, I almost wrecked my whole state of mind because I got sucked into stupid Twitter drama that doesn't matter to me.
It didn't involve you either.
It didn't even involve me. It wasn't about me.
No.
I was just in it, like, reading all. So it has been the less amount of time I spend on social media in a social way, posting things, sharing things, promoting things. You know, you can't, as a person who wants to do things with the internet, you can't just do that on social spaces. You're a spammer at that point. You have to be social to a certain degree. But this week, it's just been a busy week. So I do the posting stuff, but I don't do the reading. And I've gotten more work done earlier. I've been calmer. That's my life lesson I'm sharing with anybody who needs it. If you don't need it, ignore it. It doesn't have to be for everybody. But yeah, I was really mad that I let myself, like, my whole mood just sank. And then I stayed away from Twitter most of the day, actually. I think almost all day. And it came back. It bounced back. We were having a good time. But yeah, that was my thing.
Yeah. We need to...
we do need to go.
Yeah.
We don't need to go. Okay. We're going to go, aren't we? This is the longest live stream we've done yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as much as I worry about long live streams, long podcasts, who wants to listen? Who wants to watch? Somebody that I follow did a 5-hour live stream the other day. I did not watch. I'm not watching for 5 hours. And I think those kinds of live streams are more fun when you're there in the moment anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, you know what? It's okay. It's okay if people watching.
Yeah.
Chunks or come back later, or they fast forward through the stuff they don't want to hear about. It's fine. That's what the fast forward button is for.
Yeah.
I know. I will always have stuff about that.
I know.
So,
right.
Yeah, for all the links we mentioned, check out the show notes or the description box, especially for the sale.
Yep.
Especially for the sale. Get things at a better price now while you can. Shop.kaylalords.com, thewooddome.com. The coupon codes are in the show notes / the description box. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
And we will be back next week with just a whole however long of a bonus section. I feel like I'm setting expectations now. Don't anybody come thinking they go and get a succinct topic. You don't get a succinct topic anyway. I'm a rambler. I'm not a rambling man.
Truth.
Accurate. But yeah, we're going to go.
Yep.
And we love you guys.
Thank you so much for joining us and sticking with us through this long,
to the bitter end. Yes.
Yep. We loved having you. We loved spending time with you.
Mm-hmm. It is. I love the interaction we get while we record. I love the interaction we get after we record. I just love that it feeds my kinky exhibitionist soul. Okay, we're going to go.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
We love you.
Bye.